Welcome to another episode of The Professor and the Princess. We're your hosts. This is Randy.
Hello.
And I'm Henri. And we like having deep conversations.
We do.
And we like to flip stereotypes on their heads. Oh. That's really what we do. We like to flip them, right? All these things that we think we know and...
Or that people know.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. We like to challenge those things. Yep. And we do that one conversation at a time.
We do.
Okay. So today we're talking about rage. That was very pirate of you.
I do feel like a pirate when
exactly.
I do that.
Captain Hook. But anywho, so this is the deal. I'm on the train the other day, the subway in New York City, and there's a unhoused guy, quite disheveled, walking, you know, asking for money, whatever the case may be. And it's a normal thing.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
But anywho, he was very frustrated. So I don't know if I was in the last car and he had started the first car and worked his way down. But he was very frustrated because no one was even paying him any mind.
Right.
And often I'll feel something about folks who are asking for money and they're being ignored, right? Mm-hmm. I had a experience with a homeless guy or unhoused guy who said, "No one sees me. You guys act like you can't see me." And I was like, "Oh my God, that must be awful to feel that way," right?
Yeah.
So anyway, this young man started to speak to individual people. So he came up in our face and he's like, "You have any food? You have any money?" And then he went up to one woman's face and we thought he was going to kill her. Like the rage was so intense and he started screaming at her and yelling, right? And I was afraid, you know, you can look in the faces of other folks because we started paying attention to what was happening there. But then he started going to everyone's face, like down that row, sitting down, standing up. And the rage was unbelievable, where we were pretty much afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me question later on, well, I hope he's okay and he gets, you know, whatever he's looking for. But this whole idea of rage and how it shows up.
Yeah.
And how does it show up in us? But what are your thoughts on this whole idea?
Well, I mean, rage is we don't talk about it because it's such an ugly thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anger is okay, but rage, uh-uh. And where I see it showing up the most is in the car, the road rage.
Mm. Mm.
A perfectly nice, normal person in life is a maniac behind the wheel. They become like this crazy road rager.
Yeah.
I mean, I was married to one of them, and it was terrifying because he would do risky things because he was so angry. And I would always say to him, "Are you really angry about this person who cut you off, or is this just an outlet for that rage, a place where it's acceptable to be angry?"
Right.
I think rage is a very complicated emotion. I mean it's tough.
So look, and we'll take a dive into that too, because Ethan is here with us, guys, and he's making sure we sound good. And I saw him nod his head when you talked about road rage.
Uh-huh.
I'm not in a car so often because I live in a city. So I miss that. Oh, I mean, that's a lie, because I live near the Lincoln Tunnel and the horn that I hear all the time.
All day and night. Yeah, exactly.
And I cuss about it because it drives me nuts.
And it's like, did you think I don't know that I need to go? Like, you have to honk your horn at me before the light turns green?
I'm like, if the traffic is stopping, you
Where
see there
you
are
like
multiple cars.
Exactly.
It's like, oh my God, like calm yourself. So the Psychology Dictionary defines rage as rage occurs when anger cannot be controlled, resulting in violence, destruction, or a senseless act of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the definition that I found. Does that ring a bell?
Oh my God. I mean, I think it shows up in so many ways, right? Like in abusive relationships. In homes where children and wives or husbands are being abused. It shows up, like I said, definitely behind the wheel.
Mm.
It happened to me last night. I was at a concert at a bar and it was really crowded. And some woman like shoved me so hard that I fell back onto her. And she said to the guy she was with, "That bitch just pushed me."
Oh, wow.
And she was like about to get into my face. And I'm just like, wait a minute. I'm just standing here minding my own business. So there's this like, it's almost like there's a certain percentage of the population that is on the edge all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is flip that switch, boom. And I think we're, at least from my perspective, and maybe it's because I'm older and I'm more observant now, I think it's getting worse and worse over time.
Mm.
I feel like people are closer and closer to that breaking point on a regular basis, whereas I don't remember it being such a big thing when I was growing up. Like, I don't remember so many people being so explosive, and certainly not when driving. But what do you think?
I'm thinking about the question that comes in my mind right now is, when was the last time I
exploded?
Exactly.
In rage.
Like, right. When did I have that moment? And I just, well, I don't remember any moments of recent, but I remember my mom was in a relationship after her and my stepdad separated, and it was quite combative. Like, they argue quite often, and the young man that she was dating at the time was very upset because he was jealous of, you know, my mom. I don't know why, but maybe because she was so beautiful. Mm. But anywho, it never, you know, there's never a reason for, well, there's always a reason for rage, but there's never a reason to put your hands on someone.
And that's
comes to mind.
Absolutely.
And I remember them having an argument through the door. Like, my mom was in the bedroom and he was outside and they were going back and forth. And I was so upset. So I dealt with a lot of anger, but I've never allowed myself that and let myself go into the rage. And I started just yelling, whatever. And I grabbed the frying pan. You think I'm about to hit him in the head. I wanted to, but I didn't. But I broke one of the mirrors in the hallway. We had mirrors in the hallway. And I just smashed a mirror with the frying pan. And that was my moment of rage that I still remember to this day. And I remember I didn't feel good about it. And I think that I've actually tried to manage my anger enough to not go across that line, like you said, into that rageful space, because it's quite ugly.
But I do think there's a positive benefit in allowing yourself to let go of that rage in a certain environment. For example, I know I have a tremendous amount of rage that has not been expressed. Mm. I would like to go to one of those rage rooms.
Yes.
And smash the fuck out of plates and lamps and TVs and just destroy. Like, I think that would be so therapeutic for me.
That's where we're going after this.
Okay.
No, but tell me more about the smashing, because I think I need to do that too.
It's literally called a rage room.
Is it? Okay, we need that.
It's really ridiculously expensive too. But anyway.
Worth the dollars, clearly.
Going to the ocean when no one is around and just screaming your lungs out. Sometimes I'll just, you know, I want to put a pillow over my face and just scream. But I'm always under such control.
Yeah.
That I do think, I'm not saying in the instances that we're talking about, but I think there can be constructive rage release if it's done in a way that's not harmful to other people or yourself.
CRR.
Constructive rage release.
I'm so here for that whole moment.
That's going to be our company's name, right?
Exactly. Bring it to. But the thing that you're making me think of is how many of us are walking around with these high levels of rage. And I'm thinking about myself right now, and I'm thinking, I probably need to go to one of these rage rooms and let some things out, because I am the type of person, which may not be that healthy as I think about it now. So I'm calling Alan and my therapist and telling him he owes me some money, because I'm like, shit, I haven't had that opportunity or I didn't make the opportunity to go and let, because I got a lot of shit on my heart.
I think we all do. I mean, nobody gets out of this alive, so to speak. And I think we all have that pain, whatever it is, right? And it's proven in how quickly somebody can snap.
Right.
Like, I've known people in my life, without getting into details, who had a very level-headed demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say one thing that is pretty minimal, and boom, you watch them explode. Mm-hmm. And you know that's not a reaction to that comment. It's built up over time, and you just happen to hit the powder keg in that moment. So I think if we all had a healthier way to release it, whether that's through meditation or something more, peaceful.
Exactly.
Hello. Or it's going and breaking stuff. Or like I said, like, I used to love to scream when the subway, the inner one, was going by, because it was so loud that nobody could hear me.
Exactly. Look at, like, you. I can see you now. It's like a little movie.
Yeah. But like, those are the things, I think we all need a little bit of that. Why do you think people drink so much and do so many drugs and gamble and all these addictive things? It's just to ease that suffering, right? It's self-medicating.
Now, do you think that this level of namaste and peace and, you know, groundedness, stillness, being present, do you think that even though we could have these things as tools for health and wellness, that we still should have an outlet to release rage?
Yes.
Or do you think they, once you have that namaste moment, you become like a Buddha?
No.
That you no longer experience rage?
I bet you that, like, Gandhi and Mother Teresa still got pissed off.
Can you imagine Mother Teresa going in the back room like, these fucking
and
idiots.
And breaking some plates? Exactly. Yes, I can. Right.
Exactly. Basically, the Greeks. Opa.
Right.
Celebration exactly. moment. Exactly. Celebration moment. Yeah.
But no, I think both things can be true at the same time.
That saved my life. That saying. I keep
Two
telling you.
Two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a perfect place for that because it's true. You can be as namaste as you want.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't mean it's going to erase. I mean, we're very complex beings
yeah.
and we have a whole range of emotions that are not all going to be in line just because we meditated this morning or we journaled or we did a, you know, a cocoa ceremony or whatever, cacao. And
she said you know,
somebody
cocoa.
Asked me if I wanted to go cocoa to a cacao pebbles. Ceremony. Exactly. I'm like, what the hell is that?
What are cocoa? I just wanted some cocoa pebbles.
No, I do want cocoa pebbles, but that's beside the point. The point is, I think, yes, I think we all have the ability to release some of that rage through things like we talked about, some of the more, you know, and sometimes it does show up with people getting in your face on the subway or saying that bitch pushed me or those, you know, visceral reactions when someone's invading your space or not driving fast enough or all those things. But it's obvious that we're all close to the edge if people are able to snap just like that.
Yeah. You make me think about my coaching practice as well. And I remember a young black male client that I had who very successful in finance. And I could tell that he was experiencing a lot. He was holding in a lot because he was talking about his parents and talking about how tough the job was and trying to please his girlfriend and just all these things that he was carrying. Yeah. And he was saying it's way too much, right? And I told him, I said, you know, just options, right? I said, it feels like you need just a space to just let it out, just rip. Right. Say all the things, all the shit you want to say, things that you say you want to say to your parents and things that you would never say to them because you want to hurt their feelings.
Right.
And when I tell you, he went on a
tear.
I mean, it was so beautiful. And it was beautiful to watch in the sense that I just like a dramatic moment. But also you could see him releasing all of the pent up negative energy and thoughts that he had, you know, feelings. And it was a moment of, you know, because rage doesn't always have to show up with us breaking things, but the language and the language saying things that could be destructive if we said it to folks.
So given all that we've talked about with regard to this, you know, very difficult emotion that we all have that shows up in different
ways.
And
it shouldn't be difficult.
But it is.
You know
people
what I mean?
Don't like to talk about it.
So we make it that way because humans make things so much more complex rather than saying, I'm experiencing something. I'm feeling rage and I need to get it out.
Right.
Right? No, keep going. I'm sorry.
No. Most people, you're right. Most people are not comfortable saying that. Or maybe even more than that, they're not even aware that they're feeling
awareness.
It.
Awareness.
Because I feel like if you are a certain way all the time, it just becomes normal. If you're always on the edge of snapping, that's just your daily self.
The facts.
But my question for you is going to be, what would you say to our listeners in terms of what's the best way to manage this and how do you move through it when it's hard?
I mean, the first thing in any assessment of emotions is to educate yourself about rage. Right? Just people should do that to understand what it is, right? And then assess how we're feeling. And when we have it, when we have those emotions that we fess up to, that's what's happening. I'm experiencing a situation that's beyond anger and there is rage in me about this. Or just, you know, and identifying it and then like figuring out what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that whole idea of identifying and making sure that we know that this is what I'm going through and what's happening with me right now is very important in experience. Because like you said, people can't identify it. I would never go to therapy prior and say, I'm feeling rage.
Right. Right.
I'm angry. Or I would say something like, I'm very
frustrated.
Angry. Or, you know what I mean? Immensely angry. And I'm like, what's that next thing? Frustrated, right?
Right.
What's that next thing? And
sometimes
it is rage.
Right. And, you know, I think part of the purpose of our podcast is to just talk about things that maybe aren't necessarily talked about in day-to-day conversation.
Right, right.
And this would be a good example of something that maybe, you know, someone listening would think, oh, this is normal and it's okay for me to feel. Yeah, to normalize the fact that it's understandable. We live in a very difficult, complex world with a lot going on and it's not the way it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to get more and more complicated. So I think we all need to learn how to manage those feelings. And I think it's okay to say that I need help. Right?
You do the like wrap up the episode so well. That was great.
And you know what?
I agree.
I didn't plan that. I just was giving you my 2 cents for whatever that's worth.
It's such a natural.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. And as I said before, this is your favorite podcast, we know, and will continue to be so. So definitely tune in next time when we talk about another emotion or two. You can catch us at The Professor and the Princess on Instagram, on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, all the places.
We're everywhere.
Yes. And you can also reach out to us directly at theprofessorandtheprincess@gmail.com. Let us know what you want us to talk about. We are so open to hearing from you and want to know what you want to hear us talk about, because otherwise we just can do this all day. And we do. And we do. Clearly. So thank you. And we will see you next time. Au revoir.
Au revoir.